8:08 at WGPCL. Happy Monday morning. There's Margaret Fetty.
Good morning.
And a little change in plans today as County Councilwoman Marty Hawk will check in with us as we will have Senator Dan Coats, United States Senator Dan Coats, in Marty's usual time on 8:05 on Wednesday morning. So a very busy week. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Had a wonderful weekend visiting with family and some of my church friends, and just had a wonderful weekend.
Very nice, and we appreciate your flexibility in changing days with us this week so we can have Senator Dan Coats on with us Wednesday morning. So it's a little bit different than normal. We usually talk to you after the county council meeting. This week we talked to you before the meeting, so instead of looking back to see what happened, we'll look forward to see what's going to happen, what is on the agenda for tomorrow night.
Well, there's a lot on the agenda having to do with millions of dollars. And so I'm glad to talk with you today so that maybe people can weigh in on this to see what their thoughts are on it. One of the very first things that we will be discussing is something that I spoke briefly with you about last week, was whether or not to accept this donation of this wonderful building. It's beautiful. It's the Hoosier Energy Building. And one would think if somebody's going to hand you over a building of value of more than $2 million, you would say, oh, we thank you so much. I went to see the building. It is wonderful. It really is. But, you know, when you're talking about the public, a building that has to be supported with local tax dollars, that has to, you will have to pay for the maintenance and the upkeep of this building, you certainly need to find out, well, first of all, can you afford to do that? What do you plan to do with the building if you received it for the use of the citizens of this county? And how do we plan to operate whatever brand new department we would put in there? Do we have other departments we want to close down? Everybody has a home, their own space, because we have purchased additional space.
But you do have building space out there that potentially could be sold off if you decided to do this, Marty, couldn't you?
Well, and I've heard that mentioned. However, this is something that we have to really take in consideration. These folks tried to get this property rezoned so that they could put some other business in there and sell it, and the county would not rezone it for them. So, for whatever reason, so let's say if we accepted it as a county and took it in, and it has its zone such that it can't be used in a large way, then are we, in order to sell it, are we going to then go in and rezone it for ourselves?
That's an interesting point, because as you said, they wouldn't do it for them. So
they could do it for a private individual or company. Would we do it for ourselves, or turn around and sell it to somebody and say, it's up to you to get it rezoned, and by the way,
the big problem with that property is that it butts right up against a neighborhood, and people in the neighborhood were really concerned that this was going to go into a much more industrial use, and they were going to be, you know, having to deal with the consequences of that.
Well, they may have to deal with worse consequences if the county would take it. What do you suppose our use would be for it?
Well, I mean, where it's located, it seems like it'd be a natural place for maybe, you know, to do some sort of thing with road work and so forth. But, you know,
you almost have to go in and see the building, as I did, to be able to look at the
I was thinking location-wise.
It is huge, and it has a lot of real quality workmanship in it. And I just would love to see private sector jobs growth in there. And to the extent that the county could help that along, I would love to support that.
You could help it along by rezoning it.
Well, that needs to happen before, you know, people are not going to go buy a building they can't do anything with.
Absolutely. And this building's going to be gifted to you. Do you have to accept this gift?
No. That's part of our decision we have to be making tomorrow night, whether or not we're going to accept it or whether we're going to say, we really appreciate the thought. I mean, who wouldn't? It's a building worth more than $2,200,000.
Wow.
Which, by the way, that assessed value would be coming off of the total assessed value, which would, you know, change the tax situations for folks. But I mean, when I looked at it, I could just see all kinds of opportunities for growth for the private sector in there, and I just would hope that they would find somebody from the private sector who would take it, and that the county would work very diligently to try to get whatever zoning in place that makes sense for that building, and to work along with the neighborhood so that they can be somewhat accepting of it. You know,
I just don't think they wanted to have some big industrial use that was going to cause a lot of noise and a lot of ugly activity and so forth. And that was the other thing, is the activity coming in and out of that road was apparently something that they were very concerned about, because they were fearing it would be all ripped up.
Well, and I'm just saying, well, you just think through in your head, what is a big thing coming down the pike for the county?
Loss of all this tax revenue.
Coming down the pike, that we would need a building of that sort.
Oh, I don't know of anything you have that. Maybe I'm just not.
So if we don't know of anything that the county would have a real need for,
why spend all the money to keep it up?
Why would we spend more than $1 million?
Like I said, the only.
Well, I shouldn't say $1 million. I've been told that it's $100,000 for utilities for the year. Then you'd have to have maintenance people, probably full-time, maybe a couple full-time people working in there. So then that's on top of that. And then you always have to think about repair and replacement costs.
What you own it, it's yours.
Marty, like I said before, the only way I see it as making any sense whatsoever is if you had something else where you were perhaps renting space and then you moved it into that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
You would get rid of the rental costs you have, and then you'd have this building that is yours. That's the only way.
We just already did that with other buildings as well. And so do we really want to do two things? One, do we want to get in competition with the private sector for renting out space, which we've already done at the Showers building? We're not doing a real great job.
No. You misunderstand what I said. That's not what I meant at all. I said only if you, as the county, were renting some sort of space, and this would get you where you didn't have to have a lease anymore.
Okay, I thought you understood what I was saying. We've already done that. We had buildings that we were renting out, and we bought the Showers building
right,
so that we wouldn't have to pay rent in
right,
other places. We also remodeled some of the other buildings so that we weren't paying rent. And in addition to which, we bought a building that was larger than we needed, and so we now have this other space that we're supposed to be trying to rent out to individuals. Not doing a great job of it. I'm sorry, I didn't make myself clear. So it is not as if we have a compelling need to have
another
additional
building
space, except that there are those who think, who have wanted a work release center for years and years. There's no money to operate a work release center.
It's not about having it, it's about operating it, isn't it? Isn't that the angle?
Absolutely, because it costs a lot of money to have the growth of county government.
Every time you do that, you have
to figure out a brand new tax, or you have to figure out what department you want to close down that you don't need, that's not as important as your other new need that you think is very important.
And every time you guys have talked about a work release center, the thing has always come back to, it's never been about the building. It's been about how you staff it, how you are going to afford everything that goes into that building.
And let me just say to you, if we're talking about the Hoosier Energy building, I really believe, and maybe I need to put on my real estate hat when I say this, a building of that sort, you should think about what is the highest and best use for that building. And would we as a county want to accept a building and take it away from the opportunity for the private sector to grow jobs? And
what about how the tax implications, Marty? How does that work out?
I'm sorry?
The property tax implications and things of the
such. Absolutely, because the revenue from a more than a $2 million building, if we take that off of the total assessed value, just like losing the assessed value from the CDS or whatever, that just creates a situation where everyone else's taxes will be a tad bit higher. That's one thing. And the other thing is if we grow private sector jobs in there, if there's some way to do that, then those folks will be receiving, you know, income. They'll pay income tax, and that comes into the county coffers. So this is a big decision.
So, Marty, are you getting any feeling of what the other commissioners are thinking? I mean, is on the council, are you getting anything from that, the council or the commissioners? Have they weighed in on this at all?
Well, that is on our agenda makes it clear that the county commissioners have said that they will accept this if the county council supports it. So do I know whether or not the county council will support it? I'm not going to know that until tomorrow night when they take the vote. Let me tell you what, I think the good folks at Hoosier Energy, they have presented us with a wonderful opportunity. I do not mean to downplay that at all. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. And if we were sitting there with a real need for all that additional space, I just think we should just be forever grateful. Since at this point in time, we don't have a compelling need for all that additional space, seems to me, we should leave it in the private sector. And we do have to make a decision fairly quickly because I think they want this all to happen before year end,
sure,
having to do with tax situations.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in every Monday morning. No, this is a special guest trip for her, as she usually is on Wednesdays. This is Monday morning with Marty before the county council meeting. We saw Judy Sharp in Friday's paper talk about CVS number 2. That's $129,000 or so off the rolls. When does this stop? How does this stop? What's going on? And is CVS going to be the only store to take advantage of this?
And when are our assessors going to actually start assessing according to this, basically, what appears to be the ruling of the tax courts?
Right, and that's a question for the assessor to answer because, of course, I'm not in charge of the people that she contracts with, but I will say I understand why there's going to be a big push by counties throughout the state from Monroe County to hold firm and fight it all the way. This is, you know, that she's already said we're going to hang in there until the Supreme Court tells us what we're going to do.
And whose money is this costing?
But I want us to all remember that the longer it goes on, if we lose this case, it certainly makes it look as if we might, but, you know, the assessor might have more information on that than I have. But that is that much tax revenue that we have to pay back to CVS. And so that means not just the county, but it will be the library and it'll be the city and everybody. And it'll really affect Ellisville as well. Everybody will have to pay that money back. And in the meantime, we haven't collected that money from all the other taxpayers because if CVS wasn't paying that money, the other taxpayers would have been paying it all the way along. So now we've got to go into the coffers, pay back CVS, and if we try to go back to the other taxpayers and say, whoops, made a mistake, here we need this money that you would have been paying all along, they go, no, we don't want to pay it. And the state says, no, we're not going to allow you to do that. That's what it looks like they're doing on this last one. That just means total revenue loss to the taxing units.
And Marty, let me ask you this question. If this goes all the way to the Supreme Court, who pays the lawyer fees?
Well, don't you think we'll all be paying it?
And maybe CVS's lawyer fees, too?
Oh, I hope not. I hope that's
well,
not
I mean,
the case.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Marty. But you know, they very well could come after the city or the county for that too.
Is this to move as quickly as is possible? Because if we need to pay the money back, if that's the final decision, we need to know that and get the assessed value adjusted and the rates adjusted so that we don't continue to see this bleeding of dollars out the door. because there's some taxing units that are going to have a real tough time coming up with the money to pay this money back. The longer it goes on, the more we might have to pay back. So it's a real sticky wicket. And in this particular case, in this CVS case, the tax folks said, the tax court, I need to go back and look at that, that they use the income approach. In other words,
right, this wasn't about the dark store.
It wasn't. It was about the income approach. And I've been saying for quite some time that's the approach that I think they should take. If you have a building, if you own a building, and the way that you are going to receive income from that building is how much are you going to rent that building out to someone? You're going to own it, and you're going to rent it to the XYZ company. What is the highest amount of income you can receive? Not what does the XYZ company make by being in the building, but what can you as a property owner make to rent it to that company? That looks to me like what they're saying has happened there.
Okay, it looks like here, according to the Herald Times story from Friday, it says the Tax Review Board is the one who made this ruling, and they're taking it now to the tax court for the appeal.
Right, and so we'll see how far it goes. I mean, Assessor Sharp has said that, you know, it could go to the Supreme Court, and I understand why she's saying that, because we've got throughout the state, the counties are looking at what Monroe County's doing. And
why is the only problem we have right now with CVS?
Oh, it won't be the only one.
But my point is, why aren't there businesses lined up doing this exact same thing? Why has it only been CVS, and why is it quiet on every other front?
Well, it hasn't been only CVS. I mean, we had Lowe's, we had...
Sure.
We will certainly have others, because you think others aren't watching?
That's my point. My point is I figured they'd all be lined up ready to take them on one after the other after the other. So if it's 100,000 here and 100,000 here, and you've got 5, 8, 10 stores of that, now we're talking about some real money.
And we have to pay it all back if they all win with their appeal. And so this is a very big deal, a very big deal. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't think any of us know for certain. I'm just hoping that the decision will be made definitively, and we will know how we're to proceed. Because this could make a big difference in how counties are going to be able to operate. In addition to which, there is a new ruling that says rather than just paying them back their money, if it's determined that we owe them money back, that rather than doing that, that we can just reduce the amount that they owe us for the next few years until it's paid back to them.
So instead of handing them cash?
Either way you go, it's still that much loss of revenue.
It is indeed, but at least they've got a ruling now that makes it a little more palatable and a little bit easier to work around. But you're right, Marty. This is so huge and so potentially devastating for, you know, the budgets. I mean, I don't think Monroe County is going to be hit as hard as some other counties, but there's some really little counties where I can see this really being a big, big deal.
Oh, it certainly will be. And I understand the push for the entire state to be trying to work this out. It's not just Monroe County that has, you know, a dog in this fight. So I know that it's going to take a while, but it's my hope that we'll come up with how we know we're going to be moving forward fairly quickly, because it just it can make a big difference to the library, to the city, to the townships, to everybody who relies on that assessed value for their revenue. And then having to say, if that means we as taxpayers, all of us, that means all of our tax rates are going to go up if this continues to change this way. And that will make a big difference as well.
Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. The county councilwoman checks in usually on Wednesdays, but helps us out on a Monday morning here. The other thing is election cycles, that we've got a big election coming up in about 11 months. We got enough money to pay for all that?
Well, see, that's the other big thing we have going here is the election fund is $1,600,000 that we're talking about starting an election fund, which would pay for this coming year's election of $800,000 to $900,000, and also put money back for 1/4 of what the total savings would be, like an escrow account. I don't think the total amount will have to be as much as $1,600,000, but still, that is a huge amount of money that will be coming either out of County General or out of the Rainy Day Fund. That money can be moved from Rainy Day over to the General Fund to do it. In addition to which, you know, I've been saying a long time that we should pay off that Honeywell contract for the energy saving and equipment and so forth that we bought. That's $1,800,000. I don't think that we should be paying interest for something while, you know, if you have the money sitting there to pay it off. I really don't believe in having debt that we could pay off. But boy,
well, that's $3.4 million right there, if my math's right. 1.6 and 1.8.
It is indeed right.
And out the door it goes.
How much is in the rainy day fund?
Not ballpark. Much on that.
Okay.
I don't have that memorized here, but I can say this: that we are now to the point where I believe that there are those on the council who understand that we cannot take on any large additional expenses on a routine basis, like, say, for instance, with the operational cost of that large building that might be donated to us, where would those dollars come from? So I think for people who are really following along with county government expense, it is just amazing how it seems like our money goes out so quickly, but we'll get through it, but we just need all of us be on board to make sure that it's sustainable. Whatever it is we choose to do, it must be sustainable.
Marty, what time is the meeting tomorrow if people would like to get involved?
Absolutely. The meeting is at 5:30, and anyone who wishes to come to speak to it, happy to see you there. We'll also be discussing the ruling by the state that says that we have to bond for every employee that handles at least $5,000 in receiving or disbursing for the county government, and there is a law that says we can have a crime insurance policy rather than having the bonding. So what do you think all that's going to cost us?
Oh, it's free.
Not free, yeah.
It's all free, isn't it, Marty? I mean, it doesn't cost you anything.
Right. Let's just keep growing. Okay, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me this morning.
Thank you for shaking up your schedule. We appreciate it. We'll get caught up with you a week from Wednesday.
Okay, great.
Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman. Again, thanks for making way for us here on a Monday. Why? Well, United States Senator Dan Coats will check in from 8:05 to 8:15 on Wednesday morning.